Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for Thursday, the 2nd of October, 2025. I'm joined by Nate and Firas, and today we're going to be talking about how Nigel Farage is in a position where he really needs to start acting like the person in charge. Nigel, everyone recognises you are the power of Britain. Everyone recognises this. Step into it, mate. You can do this. Then we're going to talk about how the left is in complete disarray. Right? They've got nothing. They're going nowhere. They are over in this country. And then we're going to talk about what we're going to go into, as in what we need is a kind of Anglo-revivalism. And that's not just, oh, let's put up some posters or put up a building. No, this is a complete moral rejuvenation. Conservatism is just not enough. So we've got a lot going on today, and I'm really excited about it. So let's crack on. Let's begin.
All right. By order of the blob, Nigel Paul Farage is declared an enemy of Britain. All good citizens are bound to do him harm if they are able. This was obviously the message of the Labour conference.
Yes, straight out of HBO's Rome.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. We're not going to bore you with the clips from David Lammy calling him a member of the Hitler Youth. or Shabana Mahmood saying that he's worse than a racist, or Starmer... Like, we're not going to bore you with all of that, but it's pretty obvious that Farage has been declared as the ultimate enemy of the state. And the thing to remember is that...
So funny. It's sorry to interrupt, because you're on such a good flow, but this is just so funny. Like, he's the Hitler Youth. No, that was over before he was born. He's worse than a racist. What does that mean? Because, you know, as far as I can tell, you guys think racism is just the worst thing that can be
yes,
done.
Yes.
And then it's like, right, he's just an enemy of the state. It's like, yeah, but everyone hates you. And he's way in the lead. And that means the entire country is the enemy of the state. So what
Pretty
are you doing?
True,
what are you doing? Carry on. It's just so ridiculous.
It's the thing is that the divisions on the right are important, but they matter less than what people would like you to imagine. So if you were to sort of look at the guidance for things like Prevent, or if you were to look at the guidance from the state when it comes to different kinds of terrorism, well, extreme right-wing terrorism is characterized as cultural nationalism, primarily anti-Islamic and anti-immigrant, white nationalism, racial separatists, and white supremacism. These are all lumped together as enemies of the state under the existing regime.
Cultural nationalism.
So essentially, civic nationalism.
Liking my own culture. I'm preferring my own culture to other cultures.
So if you were to say that Rishi Sunak is in fact English, and that he is fully assimilated even though he's a Hindu, and that he is part of the nation that is Britain,
culturally,
then you are a cultural nationalist and you are part of the extreme right-wing terrorist movements.
Welcome to the club, boys.
Exactly. So whether you like Nigel Farage or not, he has become the leader of the right. And what he needs to remember is that he is fully an enemy of the state.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it couldn't have been any more clear at the Labour conference.
It couldn't have been
literally
more clear.
You are our enemy.
Exactly.
Nigel Farage represents everything we hate, and we're going to come after you with everything that we have. And Nigel took that as me street mobs. No. it's the institutions.
Exactly.
That's what's going to come after him.
Exactly. So in this document here, Sacred Violence, the Enduring Role of Ideology in Terrorism and Radicalization, you read that and you assume that it's referring to the jihadis.
Yeah, I was going to say that sounds like they're talking about the Islamic State.
Yes, they are not only talking about the Islamic State.
Of course not.
They are also talking about Nigel Farage. And he has to accept... Yeah, hey, I don't make the rules.
I know, but
I don't make the rules. But these are the rules. This is what government documents are saying.
They're also talking about Nigel Farage.
You know, he believes that Britain has a unique culture.
Yeah.
He believes that this culture does include other ethnicities and other races and so on and so forth.
Sure.
He believes all of the right and correct things as a civic nationalist. He is an enemy of the state.
That's amazing.
Mental.
So this must be the starting point for Nigel Farage. This has to factor into his calculations.
And you could see it in his response video.
Yes.
Because he was like, okay, well, we're going to teach you a lesson. As in, he accepts he's the enemy of Islam.
Yes.
Come the May elections, we're going to teach you a lesson. We're going to go against it. It's like, okay, good, but you can act more confident in this, Nigel, because you hold all the cards.
Precisely.
Like, they are afraid of you. You don't have to be afraid of them. You just have to weather the storm.
Exactly. Exactly. And when you look at
just
this
a quick thing as well. I mean, imagine if Keir Starmer sends the Gestapo around to his house and arrests him in the middle of the night, like he does with all of his supporters.
Yeah, right?
Yes, exactly.
Donald Trump is going to flip out.
Yes.
Like, Donald Trump will be like, right, I'm invading. You know, like, it will not go unnoticed.
No.
So Farage, and Starmer knows that he can't do anything of the sort. So Farage actually is in a position of quite broad license now to come out and say, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to win. I'm going to do this. And you're not going to touch me.
Exactly.
And when we win, I'm going to ruin your entire system.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. The problem facing Farage, when you look at this kind of document, this wasn't written by, you know, people in parliament or people in cabinet. Or this document is evidence that the ideology that declares Farage as an enemy of the state has permeated the entire structure of the state.
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt.
So he's not going to be allowed to govern in any way. He's going to end up in the same position as Trump won in the first couple of years, where every single lever of power refuses to respond to him and tries to thwart him at every opportunity. Mm. The NGOcracy, the blob, the media, the establishment, the deep state, whatever you want to call it, but all of the levers of power, the entire bureaucracy, is going to be working together to thwart everything that Farage tries to do.
This is what Curtis Yarvin calls the cathedral. They all have the same belief system, and so they all move in the same way.
Exactly.
And Farage has to have a plan for this. He has
and
to be prepared.
And there isn't one yet.
Yes.
And the fundamental problem is that there clearly isn't one yet.
Mm.
If you're going to replace this body of actors, you're going to have to look at, for example, this document that's detailing what is meant to be done to support migrants and refugees more effectively. And these are the NGOs and the organizations and financiers that are backing it.
Let me scroll down just because this isn't the limit of it, is it?
No. This is absolutely not the limit of it. Fourth Valley Welcome, Freedom from Torture, Friends of the Drop-In for Asylum Seekers and Refugees.
I wonder what
Borderlands.
I wonder what English...
Borderlands.
I wonder what
Rainbow Migration.
Yeah, but what's English Plus?
Mm.
Good question.
Right.
Good question.
I hope not.
Indo-American Refugee and Migrant Organization.
Yep. These entities, the Jesuit Refugee Service, who I have some respect for.
The Jewish Council for Racial Equality.
Yep.
Clear it out.
Yeah, just defund all of this.
So is there a plan on the part of Nigel Farage to actually fight the influence of these groups?
Swindon City of Sanctuary? Oh, not on my bloody watch.
Yep.
I'm looking that up. I've never heard of that.
Rainbow Migration. Latin Americans Women's Rights Services. Like, why would you...
What are you doing? Congolese Association of Merseyside. Oh, deport.
So the issue here is that there is a massive establishment that has huge amounts of finance that is able to move against Farage if he tries to address the issue of immigration, if he tries to address the issue of welfare, if he tries to address benefits, if he tries to address the judiciary. there are similar numbers of organizations, all with very deep pockets, with funding coming from the state, that are going to be working to paralyze him and to make sure that he cannot take any action.
Yes.
Whether we like it or not, I think we're stuck with Farage in this fight.
Yes. Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. It's a given.
He's milquetoast. He doesn't go as far as it as should be no. gone. He does. He's
and that's
he's not enough.
Got all our objections to Farage.
Yeah.
But they have denounced him.
He's, exactly.
They have stipulated Nigel Farage represents any kind of patriotic feeling towards the country.
Yes.
That's what they've what's interesting is that Farage hasn't filled this body that they, this form that they've created.
No.
But they have imposed it upon him.
Yes.
Like at the Labour conference, they were constantly denouncing everything on the right and saying, right, that's Nigel Farage.
It's exactly.
Like, yeah.
It's not, but he's exactly. got no choice now.
Exactly.
This is the battle that is being waged, exactly. whether you like it or not.
And remember, this isn't about him. He's a civic nationalist, fair enough, but he is therefore described as a cultural nationalist and part of extreme right-wing terrorism.
It's the same with the Tommy Robinson march. It's not about Tommy.
Exactly.
Like, you know, you can't get a million people out if it's just about Tommy.
Exactly.
It's something bigger, and people are going to it because it's something bigger.
Exactly. 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 So what I wanted to sort of begin with proposing is a couple of points. Firstly, do you have a plan and an A-team who is able to handle these kinds of institutions?
Yeah.
Who is able to cut through that red tape? To cut the Gordian knot that paralyzes any kind of political action, that removes sovereignty from parliament, and that ensures that no matter who you vote for, you get shit livery.
Yes.
Is there a plan to address this? And secondly, is there an A-team? Is there an equivalent to Project 2025 that goes through CVs of tens of thousands of people and decides this one is a good candidate for this position? Is there a plan to punish enemies and reward friends? Or is it simply that you want to sit as prime minister and allow your legacy to be failure? There has to be some kind of Project 2025. Yeah. And to be able to do that, Nigel Farage has to be able to get over the word racist. He knows that this word is being used to instigate violence against him. This is correct. This is correct. This is not enough. He can't just sit there in a crouching defensive position saying, don't call me racist. You're trying to motivate people to attack me, blah, blah, blah. This is true. And this has been happening for a very long time.
Which is why you've been attacked.
Which is why you've already been attacked multiple times. Exactly. Yeah. Which is why people celebrate when you are attacked in public, which is why you have to travel by car, you can't take public transport. This has been a given for some time. So now is the time for you to reach out to potential friends who equally scare the establishment, who are described as racist, who are described as cultural supremacists, who are described as cultural nationalists, whatever it is.
And if Brexit hadn't happened, that might be more difficult to do.
Yes.
But look at everyone who was on your side in Brexit. There were economists for it. There were political scientists for it. There were all sorts of people who are very well educated and obviously on side.
Yes.
Who supported Brexit. They're all there on the table waiting yes. to be taken. Like these are the people you want.
These are people waiting for leadership. And you're stuck with them just as they are stuck with you, no matter the differences between you.
Yes.
This is the objective reality.
But the vanity of the differences is surely something we can leave in the rearview mirror at this point, because things are so bad.
Exactly.
Like the government has declared war on at least half the country.
Yes.
The government has actively declared war on half the country, because when polled, 44% of people want no more immigration and millions to go home.
Yes.
So Keir Starmer's like, right, you don't think that they're English. Obviously, we don't think they're English.
and
but that means that we're at war with the government.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He literally declared it.
So you have people who are already being targeted by the state. I mean, I'm now preparing what to do if there is a knock on my door because of something I said on X. Everybody in this office is prepared for this. Yes. You know, everybody expects this at any moment in time. Nobody's going to be surprised when it happens.
And it's happened to lots of our friends.
You saw Paul Golding getting detained because he had a van saying...
Well, Northern Variant, Morgoth, Academic Agent, Callum have all been detained by terror police and more.
Yes.
Like, this has happened like to loads of people that we know and that we are actually personally friends with.
Exactly.
So it's definitely going to happen to us at some point.
Exactly. So we're reaching out here in a Christian spirit, or at least I speak for myself only, but I would encourage everybody
in
this country to reach out in a Christian spirit and to accept that even if you are a lukewarm civic nationalist, you are an enemy of the state. If you say that having four wives is probably bad for society, you are therefore a civic nationalist and a cultural supremacist, you are an enemy of the state. If you say that blind hatred towards Jews is a bad thing, you are an enemy of the state.
They're going to take objection to that.
They're going to take objections to that, I know. Shabana Mahmood might take objections to that. She was cheering on exporting the Intifada, globalizing the Intifada. So at the end of the day, we are all in this together. Me as a friend, as an outsider, the rest of the team as British people, but we are all in this together one way or another. So there has to be, at this moment in time, some bridge building to develop an A-team, to develop a plan, to put in place people who can take over the Home Office, who can take over the Treasury, who can take over as Justice Minister, who can take over all of these various small and mid-sized and positions,
and also
top positions.
But also has a sense of who has to go from those.
Precisely. Right?
That's the thing. Because what you will have to do is surgically remove large numbers of people from the civil service.
Yes.
They will just have to go. You will just have to fire them. Yeah. And this, you have to have a replacement for them, and you have to have people in charge of doing that who have a sense for that guy's the problem, that guy's fine, that guy's the problem, that guy's fine, right? You have to have that.
What Trump learned and what was implemented in Project 2025 is that people with a big grievance against the system are going to be the best candidates because they are going to be your allies and they will work for you to succeed even if they disagree with you on some details.
And they want it.
And they want it. They're and they want it badly paid. Enough. Yeah. Exactly.
They're not just being paid. They're not just hired help. They want it.
They have skin in the game. They've lost enough. Yeah. They are constantly under threat from Starmer Stasi. They understand the stakes. Yeah. And they are therefore committed. People like Lowe, people like Ben Habib. These are people that must reach out to Farage and that Farage must reach out to. Because the alternative isn't going to be a good one. So let's sort of try to agree on four points that might form a unified plank for the civic nationalists, for the ethno-nationalists, and for everybody in between who thinks that immigration is too high, who thinks that there is a real problem in how Britain is changing, who thinks that something must be done, otherwise Britain is going to end up in civil war. I just put out an episode with Dan on how Britain is becoming like Lebanon, is heading towards civil war. Please watch it. I'm serious about this. The points of agreement. That a nation is for its people, no matter how you define them. If you define it to include Sunak, if you define it to include Kemi, if you define it to include whoever, fair enough. But a nation isn't for everybody outside of it and inside of it. A nation is for the people who are inside of it.
And just to be clear, that's the primary point of contention that Keir Starmer has.
Yes.
You notice he said, I'm building a Britain for all.
Exactly.
As in, literally, it's for the British people, however they're defined, but also for foreigners.
And for everybody who manages to set foot on British shores, this state is for him.
Yep.
There has to be an agreement that a nation is for its people. There can be disagreements over the definition, but not over the principle. There has to be agreement that the government has ignored this idea for very many decades.
Yeah, yeah.
And kept
on. That's pretty universal.
I think that's pretty universal. There has to be agreement that there are enormous numbers in Britain who cannot contribute, will not contribute, do not contribute, and that the British do not owe them a livelihood. It can't be that half of social housing in London is going to people born abroad. That can't happen. Even if they have pieces of paper saying that they're British, and I have one too, there has to be some reality. Either you contribute or you don't. And if you're not contributing, that piece of paper doesn't really matter. If you're genuinely English, then this is England's problem. You are England's problem, even if you are lazy, unemployed, dependent on benefits.
And that's what shame is for.
That's what shame is for.
That's what we will shame you for being a a parasite on benefits.
Exactly.
But it is shame within our culture. That's the
But
thing.
It's not exactly. shameful to someone who thinks you're Precisely. An idiot for not exploiting this.
Anjem Chowdhury, I believe, defended him receiving benefits by saying that this is jizya.
Oh, well, there we go.
That he is collecting taxes from the British as a good Muslim invader.
He's an enemy, then.
There has to be agreement that these people don't belong in Britain and shouldn't be in Britain. And that it's not the responsibility of the Brits to keep on paying them and funding their three wives, four wives, sometimes more, and providing for them. And last, there has to be agreement that people in Britain should speak English. Like,
a minimum, low bar. But
This isn't revolutionary.
Yes.
This isn't Nazism. This isn't rabid ethno-national. This is elementary. Yes. This is elementary.
But if you're going to contribute to the society, you have to at least be able to speak the dialogue of that society. So,
you have
yeah.
to at least have a job.
Well, yeah. You've got to speak English yeah. to do that. So, yeah, like, it. You're
well, pre- do you need speaking English to have a job? That's
no, but
thing.
You should, right?
Like, that's should, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
So, if these are the basic points of agreement and they can be stated as points of agreement, then policy can flow from that. Yeah. The policy can be that if you do not meet these requirements, having a piece of paper doesn't change the fact that you are not Britain's burden to bear. You are someone else's burden. Maybe your own charity, but your own charity at home, in your own country, because charity begins at home.
And even then, even if you're here and there's a private charity that's like, okay, there's people on the streets, we'd like to help, I might donate to that.
Yep.
Yeah. But I'm currently being robbed by the government constantly.
Exactly.
And so I don't want to donate to a private charity because exactly. I'm already being robbed.
Exactly. So there can be a process here that doesn't involve sending vans to round people up. The process can be you titrate benefits. You say that over the next 3 years, these groups are going to have their benefits removed gradually. And there can be incentives. If you leave in the first year, you get X amount of payment per adult, X payment per child. This is going to be much cheaper for the state than a lifetime of welfare.
And it's also far less invasive.
And it's much less invasive.
There's no good argument against it.
Exactly. 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 And the best part about it is that you can then leave it to Keir Starmer and his ilk to make the argument for why people who are foreign and are on benefits should remain in the country. Let him make the argument.
Yeah,
let him crash and burn.
They already have. It's racist and immoral.
Well,
and then immediately implemented a similar policy.
Exactly. Let him keep screaming racism. Let him keep trying to mobilize the state and Antifa and the leftist loons against you. But that will never be a political argument. You will win the argument and you will unite the ethno-nationalists and the civic nationalists behind you, at least temporarily, until the problem is not that bad. And the problem is so bad that I have good information saying that there are already checkpoints in some communities to guard against foreign men with bad intentions towards young women. This is late in the game if you are thinking about civil conflict. This is pretty late in the game. Mm. And so you must find a way to reverse some of this stuff. Explain clearly that you will deport every single foreign criminal immediately. Let Starmer make the counter-argument. Say that families can be deported together, that citizenship can be revoked collectively. Because if you've sort of raised a terrorist, or if you've been raised to be a terrorist, odds are that you are going to raise another terrorist. Let them make the counter-argument.
The indefinite leave to remain thing was quite a good start, actually.
The indefinite leave to remain thing was a very good start. But if you keep on pushing, you will get Labour to denounce you as a racist while implementing your policies.
Which is what's happening right now.
Which is exactly what's happening. So keep on pushing instead of going into some kind of defensive crouch. There's no reason to be defensive. There's no reason to be afraid.
You're winning, and you're not even on the attack.
Exactly.
And you're winning.
Exactly.
The Labour conference was the most defensive, just hyper-aggressive, wounded animal backed into a corner that I've ever seen.
Exactly.
And they're just, oh, God, Nigel Farage is going to take everything and destroy everything. And Nigel's just sat there. Like, he's not doing anything. Like, if he was on the march, like, leading, you know, 50,000 men down the street, being like, yeah, we're going to repeal this. We're going to
Exactly.
Deport. Like, I'd understand their fear, but he's just in London in his tower, just relaxing.
Exactly. And for Nigel to be able to do this, this does involve doing some pretty basic things. Like saying that the police showing up to arrest Pete North or Steve Laws or Paul Golding or all of the other people that are getting arrested is in fact wrong and it shouldn't happen.
And it's a civil liberties question.
And it's a civil liberties question.
It's not about ideological agreement or conformity. It's a civil liberties
question. You don't have to adopt their views, but you need to be throwing them a bone. Because these are the people who are most willing to go knock on doors for you. And accept that some of them will have views that you find distasteful. And accept that you will be denounced as an evil, extreme, right-wing terrorist by the state, even if you don't do it. Like, the game is up. You're already on a terrorist list. They can't make it official because they're afraid of Uncle Donald.
But what they can do is remove the security that you had, that you need.
Exactly.
Well, they've already implied that he is... That he is on that list anyway, because when Keir Starmer compared... this is the most radical fight we've ever had. We've never had a fight like this, but they've had fights like this in... And then they listed a bunch of them that were in Europe, and we know how they sort of circumvented those.
Exactly.
Right? And this is what Nigel is going to be up against.
Exactly.
He's going to be up against the British version of our blob trying to circumvent his win.
Exactly.
That's what's going to happen.
And to address that, he needs allies, he needs an A-team, he needs people who have skin in the game, and the people with the most skin in the game are the people who are regularly denounced as racists.
Yeah.
And they will be denounced as racists no matter how moderate their views are. The word has no meaning. There is no operational definition of racism if cultural nationalism is part of right-wing terrorism.
I think it's also worth pointing out that people on the right, there's no point punching right anymore.
No, none.
The entire argument has now been compressed down into two sides.
Exactly.
You have to pick your side.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, whether you like him or not, Nigel Farage has become the representative of our side, whether we like it or not. We don't have to agree with him on everything, but this is the way that the battle lines have been drawn.
Exactly.
So there we go, there we are, that's what we're
And he could
with.
Extend to the right the same courtesy. He can say, I don't like everything that they do. I'm not in full agreement with them. I have my differences. But on these points of principle, civil liberties, freedom of expression, the importance of British culture, some form of civic nationalism that involves cultural compliance with British norms.
The fundamental
That's
principle.
That's the bare minimum. And speaking English, for God's sake.
The fundamental principle that the country is for its own people. That's the thing that we can all agree on.
Exactly.
It's not even a radical position.
It's not.
It's
so
Your
funny.
Grandmother agrees with this principle.
Like, exactly.
But Starmer does not.
Exactly.
He does not believe that.
Exactly. So now is the time for some moral and philosophical clarity. Now is the time for some Christian charity from both sides to try to work together. The only other option will be the right trying to hold Nigel to account by developing parties like Advance, by developing Rupert Lowe's Restore movement in order to keep Nigel's feet in the fire. This is not a good way to enter into an election because you will not have the manpower required to manage the organs of the state who are all going to be militating against you and trying to make you fail. You don't want to go into this with everybody on all sides attacking you. You
are in a position. The problem with the left at the moment.
Exactly. You are in a position for a great national reconciliation, even around your own civic nationalist principles. If you just adopt some minor, clear-eyed positions about who should be in Britain and who shouldn't be in Britain, defined by cultural compatibility and contributing to society. These are not extreme positions. Nobody's saying test everybody's DNA in Britain and make sure that they're all as English as Dan. This is not what's being said. The bare minimum is being offered to you. You're in a position to pick up the crown from the gutter and wear it, if you behave in a slightly Christian way and with more confidence. And that's my message.
And it really is down to Farage to understand he is the one in charge. He is the one who has the crown. Like, I can't pick up the crown. You can't pick up the crown. It's only there for Nigel. And so we're waiting for you to take it. It's okay. We will support you.
Exactly.
We're not trying to overthrow you. We want you to be our champion and go out and smash all of this.
Yes.
You know, we want you to do the job.
Yes.
So it's up to you, Nigel.
We want Middle Eastern Women and Society Organization to be completely defunded. We want Migrant Democracy Project to be defunded.
I want the Welsh Refugee Council abolished.
Exactly.
No foreign national should be able to vote either. This is just absurd.
Well, this is getting into the details.
Well, yeah.
Let's start with the basics.
Yeah.
Let's start with the basics.
We can see where we fall once we've won the initial battles.
But So, at the very least, have a group of people who are able to run the apparatus of the state.
Yeah.
I mean, and then we'll see what happens.
Hope Not Hate, instantly, that should be one of the things that he comes out and says, yeah, why are we funding Hope Not Hate?
This exactly. is question.
Ridiculous.
Exactly.
Anyway, for the sake of time, we're going to have to move on.
Yep, yep.
Can I pinch this?
Yes, of course.
Loads of super chats on that one. I can't pronounce that, but for $50 Australian, says Nigel Farage is being talked about in Australia. Our political right are watching closely. Stay safe, lads. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, Donald Trump has been an interesting American example of what happens when the outsider takes over the state. But it's not actually reflective of the way that the country works in this country.
Yes.
Without a presidential system, we're actually in a much more glacial, flexible, but it's also glacial.
Yes,
it's slower, but it is more flexible. And with there is room to maneuver. Magnum North says, "I'm American, but also Welsh and Irish. And if I have to get on a boat to fend off the communists in the UK, sign me up. If you want Project 2029, there are a few organisations in the best place. There are few organisations in a better place to formulate it than yourselves. Yep. Well, that's certainly that's something fine. We could do.
Yep.
Dan just sends $10 for the dancing gif, so thank you. And KS says, it may be 250 years since my convict forebear got yanked to Australia for debt, but remember, we remember where we came from. We hope you have a government soon that remembers its great past as well one day. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. And JS says, thoughts on the ongoing terror attack in Manchester? No, we don't know anything about it because we're covering this at the moment. But
it's ongoing.
I'm sure that probably if information comes out, we'll probably cover it tomorrow.
Yep.
Right, so speaking about how the right needs to get its act together, and I think the right has a much closer chance of getting its act together than the left. And this is actually superb, because the left for the past 30 years has had an increasing ongoing cultural hegemony and political hegemony, and has completely routed what we could call mainstream conservatism, which we'll get onto when we're talking about your segment. But this has left the left completely unable to actually be reasonable. Completely unable to cooperate in any substantive way. I mean, you've got the great example of the People's Front of Judea, which I'm a big fan of. I've been watching the progress of your party very, very closely, because Jeremy Corbyn, whether you like him or not, he is a very powerful politician in this country.
Yes.
Right? Jeremy Corbyn can get kicked out of the Labour Party and then independently re-elected.
Yeah.
Which is a very rare thing, because people mostly vote for the party. Yep. But no, for Corbyn, they were voting for Corbyn. And then, of course, they had 800,000 sign-ups to their newsletter. This is big, right? Mm. And so Zara Sultana has been constantly out in front of Jeremy Corbyn, mm-hmm. not accepting his leadership of your party. And then you've got a movement in your party called Our Party, which wants the MPs to just step down entirely and let, like, rando... I'm not joking. They've got,
your party has Our Party?
Yes, because it's a bunch of non-elected activists who want the MPs to step down so they can take over. So it's pure power seeking.
So it's similar to like how Navarra Media entered into Labour and started to push Labour when Jeremy Corbyn was in power.
Yeah,
right.
But it's within this. But they want the MPs to step down so they can claim power of the party. But it's like, okay, you don't understand leadership whatsoever. Corbyn is your leader. Let him lead, right?
Exactly.
But instead, Zara Sultana tweeted out what looks like a fake link and got 20,000 people to donate to her and not the other party, because she decided that she was being marginalized by what she called, quote, a sexist boys club. And this was, as you can see by the community note there, contradicted by Jeremy Corbyn saying, well, hang on a second, that's not an authorized link. What is happening here? And this signaled a split in a party that hadn't even been founded.
And it doesn't have a name yet.
It was initially it was called Your Party, but that wasn't the name as Zara told us. But we'll get to that in a second. So, as you can see, she carried on. She then began campaigning against Your Party, trying to raise essentially a faction within the party that would support her over the sexist boys club. And then she started threatening legal action against Jeremy Corbyn. Because apparently a number of false and defamatory statements have been published about her concerning her party's membership portal. And therefore, she's instructed specialist defamation lawyers. Now, that didn't last long, because everyone was like, are you seriously talking about going to war with Jeremy Corbyn? And she was like, no, actually, I want unity. We must make this work. There is no choice. I'm determined to reconcile and move forward. It's like, you're the one who's done this. Jeremy Corbyn did not do anything to you.
He's just sat there going, like, what is going on?
Literally, she announces the party before he's ready. She announces the membership drive before he's ready, before it's even named. And now she's announced the legal proceeding. Now she's like, yeah, okay, I'm not going to do that. And Jeremy's just like, what am I doing?
She's arguing with herself almost.
I'm engaged in ongoing discussions with Jeremy, for whom, like all socialists of my generation, I have nothing but respect. Although, why aren't you respecting him then? Yeah, he is the venerable leader of your movement. You sit down, you shut up, and you wait for him to make a decision. That's how this works. But I love this. I know many people are feeling demoralized. Brilliant. That's great. I'm watching this purely for entertainment value, right? So anyway,
we're not demoralized.
No. We're doing great. But I'm glad to see my enemies are demoralized. Anyway, everything's going brilliantly. And then your party has finally been registered as your party.
Your party.
But with Jeremy Corbyn as the sole leader.
Oh.
So she has been marginalized because she's a troublemaker. Because she looked like she was scamming a bunch of their supporters and was trying to overthrow Jeremy Corbyn as the leader of the party.
Yep.
And so this is just spectacular, right? Jeremy Corbyn has taken executive control, which he should have done from the start, obviously. Jeremy Corbyn didn't need her. You know, he could have done this all on his own.
Exactly.
And so what wonderful, wonderful job on the left. So the Corbynists...
Trans Muslims most affected.
I know.
Fascinating.
And there's been many, I'm not going to cover it, many internal ideological wranglings because, of course, most of the Muslims are not for the LGBT stuff, but they are for the overthrow the British state stuff, overthrow British society stuff. And so Jeremy Corbyn's like, okay, I love overthrowing British society, but I also need to trans the children. And the Muslims are like, well, do you?
But I need the Muslims' help.
Exactly.
Then have a party without you.
I'm literally forming a party with the Gaza MPs because I'm a traitor, says Jeremy Corbyn. Yeah. So like, what are my options here? So anyway, this is a contradiction that's going to work itself out in further people's fronts of Judea springing up in the future.
Can't wait.
I know. I'm loving every second of it.
Yeah, unadulterated entertainment.
Do you think she joins Zach Polanski, or what was she?
Well,
she does she try to start her own movement?
She was at a conference with him just the other day. And the thing is, Jeremy Corbyn's got to be like, well, he's our primary competitor because he's competing specifically for the same constituency, the Islamo-Communist Alliance, which is all the Green Party is at this point. They don't even talk about the environment anymore. It's really weird. They talk about Islamo-communist things. So she was at a conference with Zach Polanski on the same stage.
And then she'll try to overthrow him.
Well, Zach, all I'm saying, bro, is you can't trust her. Look at her bloody record.
Yep.
You know, definitely take her into your party. Now, yeah, so the left at the moment is genuinely, like you're saying, pure entertainment for me. Yeah. So they're going nowhere. Starmer has persecuted them. He has kicked them out. He's arresting them. Galloway arrested the other day on terrorist thing. He, at the Labour conference, Andy Burnham's on his way out too. Yep. But it was Owen Jones.
Is he?
Probably.
Oh, okay.
Right. He was mounting a leadership challenge to Starmer in a moment of crisis. Yeah. So yeah, he'll probably Stalin him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Watch this space. But Owen Jones and a bunch of other sort of Navarra media types got their press passes revoked because they were asking awkward questions about Israel and Gaza. And so it's like, nope, not tolerating that. And so the left has been jettisoned out of mainstream politics. But the problem with Labour's mainstream politics is that they're down to 20% or so in the polls. So are they even mainstream politics anymore is the question. But then you have the ideological wranglings. You have people like Gary's Economics. Now, Gary's Economics is a very interesting chap, Gary Stevenson, because he is, I guess we would say, of the old socialist left, and he does agree in principle with everything that the left says. Oh, yeah, of course I'm for trans rights. Of course I'm for infinite immigrants. Of course I'm for making sure that nobody owns any property in this country, obviously. But I also live in reality. Now, Gary has this problem that the left basically doesn't live in reality.
Yes.
And this, I mean, as you can see, this is his message to reform supporters. He's basically like, please, could you just not be racist? We could form a coalition.
That is
just not be racist.
That's a winning ticket right there, Gary. Everyone's going to listen to that, mate.
Should we look at the responses? Is it English? Racists say the English should stay majority English. I'm afraid it is. I'm afraid from Gary's own philosophy, that's exactly it. And then I do this for you. Yeah. Manufactured authenticity.
Yeah.
You've won nobody over here, Gary. like it's just all our guys just saying, F off, Gary. Like, you fucking communist, right? So Gary, he made his pitch, and to the reform side, the right, obviously this had no purchase because his fundamental premise is give up your country. Mm. I'm not inclined to do that. Nah. No matter where you fall on the right, you don't want to do that. But then he made his pitch to the left. You won't stop reform winning the next election by calling their supporters racist.
So what?
I'm sorry.
Gary?
No, no, but he's right.
No, but Gary? This what was your last Martin. Video? No, that's the lesson he learned. He learned. That's growth, Gary.
Let's watch this. I'm proud of you. This is genuinely fun.
I think there is a risk that the left gets very, very angry and starts to be really, really aggressive and accusatory towards people who might be voting for reform. I want to show you a clip which I saw on Politics Joe the other weekend. So let's run it.
Wealth tax or no wealth tax?
It's a very hard one. I mean, I come from a working class town. Everything in kind of reforms policies would maybe leaning more towards no wealth tax.
So for me, if the wealth tax was possible, I'm at a stage in my politics where I would actually support it.
There are a lot of reform voters who'd be supportive of wealth taxes. If you want to get progressive change in the next election, you need to win people over. And I think you need to be really careful to resist the temptation to go around shouting at people, calling them racists. Listen, there are racists in this country. There always have been racists in this country. I totally understand the instinct of people on the left to worry about increasing racism in society. I think it's happening. I can feel it happening. You need to be pragmatic. You need to be sensible. Reform are going to win the next election, and you are not going to stop that by turning around and calling people racists. You need to be relentless and aggressive in your pursuit of common ground and unity. And that means you're willing to go to people who you might not agree with everything about and say, listen, I know we don't agree on everything, but let's find the thing that we do agree on and let's fight for that. Because those people at those protests, they, just like you, are struggling to pay the rent. Their kids are struggling to pay the rent. They're struggling to find economic futures. If you centre that, if you focus on that, you can build something positive. You can win them over. If you focus on what divides you, all you're going to do is make this country more and more divided.
He's not wrong.
No, I don't disagree.
This is sage advice that he is giving to the left. I mean, this is sage advice for Keir Starmer and his government. Don't just call everyone racist or worse than racist or the Hitler Youth, right? This is sage advice for any politician on the left, any activist on the left who actually thinks that maybe they want to win at some point in the future. Yep. And you can feel Gary's exasperation. He's like, listen, I know you're not going to listen to this.
Yeah.
I know you're not going to listen to this.
He actually did it himself, though, didn't he? So.
Well, you can see all the tabs I've got lined up there.
Okay.
There were a lot of reactions to this. So, but very reasonable perspective from Gary.
No, I agree. But also, it's so frustrating to see someone that is right on this, whilst also being so wrong on everything else.
Yes.
And reasons why people would be voting that way and that way inclined. It's not for goodness sake.
Communists are like that sometimes. Yeah. I mean, they get some of the basic economic stuff correct.
It's not even that. They get some of the analysis correct. Right?
Exactly.
They can see the problem.
Yes, oh, right. That's actually, right. No, but the solutions are always completely wrong.
Obviously, the solutions are always communism. But like, I know you want to scream racist at them and that can feel gratifying. I know, I've done it myself. But that won't win them over to your perspective. And unfortunately, we are still in a democracy where the victory is done by selection. You just have to have the most people who actually vote for you. And Gary's just like, please, just please, for 5 minutes, contain yourselves. And they're like, no, they will not be containing them. What if they are racist? Brackets, they are. Keep going. I want more of this.
Flagging by it.
Yeah, exactly. Palestine flagging by it. Right. I want more of this. More. But they keep doing a racism. It's like, I'll stop calling them racist when they stop doing racism. Perfect. Just keep going. Because again, from the perspective of the right, this is gold. This is absolutely gold.
Yep.
It's not merely a difference of opinion. Like, Labour has spent a year not calling their supporters racist, and it noticeably does not appear to have helped.
So I'll just do the inversion of that, and that will help, surely.
But they have called everyone racist last year.
No, I know. But
literally, the Southport riots are racist. It's far right. At the conference, Nigel Farage is not
far right. Nigel Farage is not far right.
Farage isn't just a racist. Right. He's a super racist.
Yep.
Whatever that's supposed to be. Like, he's Hitler Youth. Like, they do this. They literally came out as like, if you want to end indefinite leave to remain, that's a racist policy. Are you saying that everyone who wants indefinite leave to remain to end is racist? Well, I'm not saying that. It's like, no, they're just racist by implication.
Yes.
Like, I'll let you make your mind up about that. Right, okay.
Yeah, I know what you think.
Yes.
We know what you think. So it's just, these are all just mental. The quote tweets on this thing. It's just absolutely gold. Yeah, but it shows you the internal logic of the left, right? Mm. Like, Gary is saying, go against your fundamental, not just worldview, but the way you operate on a day-to-day basis.
I can't. I have to read this out. Kind of the only strategy we have scientifically tested, actually, calling people racist.
And that's why Nigel Farage is number one in 100 polls.
What is your conception of science? What do words mean?
Well, it depends what the result you're looking for, right? If the result is making sure you've called them a racist, well, that certainly works. Right. If the result is winning elections, that does not work. But this is the point that you see the swarm of confusion in the left, because Gary has suggested victory, right? Gary has suggested victory, and they've gone, no, I want purity.
Yes.
Purity in all things. And so, this is definitely a lesson the right can definitely learn from.
Yes.
We're nowhere near as bad as the left, but this is the thing with Nigel Farage. Doesn't matter. Like, they're your guys and they're not your guys. Ultimately, does the argument work on it? If I say, Nigel, we're losing our country, does he feel drawn by me?
Or is he going to stick with Richard Tice saying, that'll be long after I'm gone?
Well, yeah. No, but even then, he's still conceding that would be a bad thing. It's just not his problem.
Mm. Yes.
Right? Whereas Keir Starmer would say, good.
Yes.
These people are just as valid as you. I don't know what you're talking about. He would want you to have lost your country. At least with Tice, is like, I'm a boomer, it's not my problem. But that would be bad for you. Good luck, you know? He at least concedes the moral legitimacy of the argument.
Yes.
Whereas these people, Gary concedes all of the moral legitimacy of the left's argument, and they're still like, no, well, I'm going to call them racist even harder now. And then suddenly, Gary's the problem, right? This is so unbelievable. Gary's the problem. Gary is not sufficiently left enough.
They're left. They always eat themselves.
I love it. You got to love
it. They always do it. It's always the same.
This is so unbelievably arrogant, deeply offensive, that I can't quite put my thoughts together. Being a racist is not a difference of opinion, and it's very dangerous for Gary to continue to frame it this way. F left or right, I will call you a racist if you're a racist.
I think the fundamental problem, Tops, is that you really can never put your thoughts together.
But what I love about this is it's the hunt for racism in everything.
Yes.
The day doesn't start unless you've called something a racist.
Yeah.
Racist. Right. Oh, where's my tea? You know, like
maybe look in the mirror, call yourself racist, and then go on with your day.
They probably do. It's so pathological, right? I have to label this. And if I can't label this, if that's the losing strategy, I'm going to do it and spite my face. Right. Yeah. And this is it's so pathological. It's like Tourette's, but we're calling everything racist. But then, yeah, Gary's the problem. I hate class reductionist takes because black and brown people can be working class and suffer racism and classism. So, nope, if you support reforms policies, you're a racist. Okay, that's great politics, babe. Keep going. Keep making this.
Black and bio.
Yeah, exactly. All the same.
Oh, yeah, literally.
Yeah. It must be nice to be able to say this. Guys, please stop calling the racist bigots that want you dead racist. You're hurting their feelings. Brother, they want to shoot people in the channel. This isn't about being nice anymore. Okay. Keep being as mean as you can to the reform voters and justifying everything those people think.
Mm.
Like, keep going. Yes, Bennett, you need to be sensible. Why is it always on the marginalized to reason with people who don't view them as equal or even human sometimes? Piss off. It's like, right, we're not going to be sensible. We're going to be mental. We're going to be absolutely mental. And we're going to keep calling you racist until you give us everything that we want.
This is what Farage has to remember. The choice is between these people who are in the civil service. They're exactly like this. They're exactly like this in the civil service. This is precisely what they believe. The choice is between them and people like the Lotus Eaters.
Freelance copywriter, eh? Interesting. Anyway, so then the next one, reform are going to win the election. It's not for another 4 years. Rather than admit defeat or break bread with fascists, I think we need to focus on forming a popular front, a coalition of left and centre-left parties, and getting proportional representation enacted. Odds on? What do you reckon?
Yeah, well, no.
Likely to happen?
No.
You think, I mean,
seeing as he is part of the left and he's trying... to create...
You're busy splitting with him right now.
What?
But if Jeremy Corbyn can't get it done, who else on the left could get it done?
Yes.
Right?
Blansky.
I guess he's the guy. I guess he's their man. Like, the last great hope of the left in Britain. But yeah, I love this. We need to form another splinter group of the Popular Front of Judea. Like, this isn't going to happen. You guys are mental. And I love it. I love watching it.
It's actually insane, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you're watching people melt down in real time.
And this is over Gary not saying you're bad people, not saying that you need to be exiled from the left or anything like that, by saying, can we just...
Stop insulting people.
Just be reasonable and engage with them on a level that they might agree with you on.
Yeah. Right? So that's, we can get some of the things we want.
Exactly.
I mean, it's that so milk taste.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Couldn't be
it's
more
either milk-tose. All or nothing. This is the mindset of the heretic. It's either all or nothing.
Yes.
Yeah. And
people, I love this one.
People who are wealthy will always tell the less wealthy not to rock the boat too much. And they'll frame you rocking the boat as unhelpful or not pragmatic and accuse you of making bigots worse. They want you to pipe down because the system largely works for them. Well, I mean, he is a multimillionaire, isn't he? Famous trader, I've heard. So I don't know. All I'm saying, Gary, is on a class analysis, is that even wrong?
Yep.
Then you have this sensible pragmatism is just acquiescence. Are people meant to just not talk about and concede to all the manifestly racist policies in the hope that right-wingers are so grateful they support a bit of left-wing economic policies a favour? Is that it? Yeah, that's actually what he's asking for. Just
are we really going to give up on total revolution?
Yes.
Are we really going to give up on absolute total revolution and the full destruction of the system for the sake of winning an election to stay in power? No. We do not want to be in power. We want to be pure.
And that
this is
That is exactly it. Okay, but reform are likely to storm the next election while loudly calling everyone who opposes them gay, woke, groomer, terrorist.
I wish. That'd be brilliant.
Promise Nigel Farage not to do this for a few years after he wins.
Yes.
I promise not to call them all gay, woke, groomer, terrorists if we can help establish some basic sanity in the country.
But why would that be the winning tactic? Like, they're going to storm the next election by loudly calling everyone a gay, woke, groomer, terrorist. Then that must resonate with the public, right?
Yeah.
Like, we're gonna defeat the gay, woke, groomer, terrorists. And everyone's like, yeah, I'm voting for those guys. And they're like, I can't believe
I've got to double down on being a gay, woke, groomer, terrorist. Like, what?
Well, that's literally what they're saying.
That's what he said.
The right is not hand-wringing about not being nice enough to their opponents. They see public opinion as something to change, not mitigate. So, okay, but...
I wish Nigel Farage saw it that way, but okay.
I agree, but, like, you've had decades to persuade people to be gay, woke, groomer, terrorists.
They said no.
And it hasn't worked. Mm. Like, everyone hates you for it, and now you're not allowed to call them racists. And,
terrible.
Yeah, so, again, this man is an idiot, and I'm not entirely sure why wokeism people should be scolded and told to be kind when right-wing politics has been allowed to boom, and much of that is supported by the desire to use slurs and want to be nasty in politics.
But why has it boomed, mate?
Yeah. Like, what? Like, it's... They think that the
no self-reflection is allowed. Keir Starmer said, this is not the time for reflection and navel-gazing. No self-reflection allowed.
This is not the time for introspection.
Yeah.
Obey your leader.
Yeah. So, basically, what he's saying there is, like, why shouldn't we be woke? Of course we should be woke. Don't scold woke people. Scold the people who are non-woke. And, in fact, we should probably just go back to being inquisitorially woke, in fact. Mm. No, call that out every damn time. They need telling, calling out, and challenging repeatedly. Mm. It's like, good point. You tell Gary what you think, Mr. Spencer. I don't know if that's Mr. or Mrs. actually, but like TM Spencer. You tell Gary. And keep telling him. Keep tweeting at him. No, we need to be inquisitorially woke, and that will finally defeat the right.
Mental.
Wow. I love the left so much. I love that we get to be against these people.
It's like being at a circus and all they have is clowns.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun. Gary Stevenson looks like someone with perpetual spasms and the medical weed just kicked in. I don't know. He looks exhausted of him having to deal with leftists. Yep. Like, when watching that clip, you can see him just be like, okay, I know I have to do this, but like, oh, it's going to be rough. Did you ever hear the tragedy of Darth Muhammad El Zut the Wise? I did, actually, from David Wood, which is remarkable. Not going to cover it here, but you should definitely go look that up.
Okay.
It's like a Russian nesting doll. It starts as your party, then becomes our party, then becomes us party, then the R party. R word party it is. Yes, basically that's where it's going. No, I don't really believe Nigel will achieve anything particularly of note, but I think the one thing that's really important at the moment is the digital ID thing, right? Nigel immediately came out and said, no, I'm against this. And it's like, right, okay, well then it boils down to digital ID or not, right?
Yeah.
Keir Starmer's for it, Nigel's against it. If for no other reason... That has to be the thing. But it'll be an inflection point at the very least. What can the average Americans do to save England, by extension Britain?
Talk about it.
Make sure that the Trump administration is aware that we're currently engaged in a civil war. Like Elon coming on stream at the Tommy Robinson's rally, that was massive.
Yes.
That was massive. If the Trump administration wants to come and do similar things with other people in various other places, that would be great. You know, having allies overseas who have opinions on, you know, this sort of stuff is important.
The optics that they're engaging in it would be huge. Mm.
And lots of comments about your party, which I'm afraid for time I'm going to have to skip over. But I love that they can't get their act together.
Brilliant. All right, so we've got the... Cool. All right, well, we need Anglo-revivalism, because the Conservatives are dead, and quite frankly, conservatism is not enough.
Oh, it's a dead philosophy, too.
Yeah, completely dead for
me. Look around you. Well, we're conserving. We'll go out on the street, but like, Swindon was a conservative stronghold.
Was it?
Yeah. Like, because we don't have a university here.
You would not know that looking at Swindon.
Well, it's Wiltshire, right? Like, Wiltshire generally is, you know, the southwest is generally quite conservative. But now we've got Labour MPs because Tories screwed up so bad.
Demographic change.
It's not even demographic change. It's really the Labour's, Tories screwed up.
Yeah, I know.
And it was just like, you know, screw those guys.
So, this isn't a shameless plug. However, this is one of the things which sort of jumped off, and I just wanted to sort of push this, I guess, because Gavin Barwell is a former number 10 chief of staff.
Former?
Big guy in Conservatives, right? Like, that's not a small fry. Mm. Housing minister, former Croydon MP, and he decided to tweet out, define ethnically English. Yeah, most people can, funnily enough. Most people can. And I think the
indigenous people of England.
Yeah, like 1,000 years.
It's actually really easy to define ethnicity.
1,000 years of homogeneity.
I told somebody today that on this timeline, we're probably going to end up, him and I, in the same jail cell because we agree that I'm not English.
Yes.
There's a very good chance that him and I will end up in the same jail cell because we're in agreement, mate. You know, it's... Yeah. It's a blood thing. You have to be born of English people. Why is it hard?
Every ethnicity ever, by the concept and definition of what an ethnicity is, right? Yeah. You inherit your ethnicity from your parents. It is something that is important for like doctors, right? For example, if you go to the NHS and you say, I have this congenital disease, they will say, are you a Pakistani? Because they will think, okay, that's consanguinity.
Yeah. Right?
Or if you have some sort of blood problem, they'll say, okay, are you African? Because they're more prone to sickle cell disease. So, like, it's, I'm not making
a judgment.
If you
need a bone marrow transplant, right? It has to be from someone who is very closely similar to you by blood. It has to be someone of the same ethnicity.
And if you need an organ transplant, it really, really helps to get it from someone who is a co-ethnic. It's not a judgment. It's just reality.
But it's something which has been known... like for time immemorial
until right now
all of a sudden. I mean, the very concept of having an ethnic minority in England implies that there is an ethnic majority.
How else could it happen?
So
how else could it work if, you know, it literally implies it directly?
I know. So I mean, I posted this and I said, look, you know, this is why the time of the Conservatives is over as both a political philosophy, a party, and a stance on the country and how it should be governed into the future. We are now currently in what I call, and you know, I call it the age of Anglo-revivalism, right? It's, we must reclaim who we are, that which was stolen from us by successive governments, which chose to spit in the face of the electorate, about turning on their mandate and just flooding the country with everyone. And that is what the Conservatives did.
Just a quick thing here as well. This is really links into what Frere said. The primary principle has to be agreed that the nation is for its own people. And Gavin here is saying, if I can muddy the waters and undefine the people of the nation, then I don't have to fulfill the obligation that the nation is for one group and not other groups.
This is like saying, define what is a woman.
It's very much.
It's exactly the same mindset. It's sort of, let's take something that everybody knows what it is and pretend that it's some insane mystery that nobody can actually understand and that it's all got to do with emotions and feelings and sentiments rather than physical reality.
Yes.
It's not hard to see what's being done here, and it's not hard to see why it's both subversive and insulting.
Yeah. But it's, yeah, massively.
But it's and it can be straightforwardly answered in one line, a person who is indigenous to England. That's just literally like an adult human female. Like it's literally in the blood, you know, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but apparently that makes you a Nazi, I guess.
I guess so.
And so then this kind of takes us on to this.
My boy Harrison.
Yeah, no shade. No.
Oh, good.
No,
I like
no,
Harrison.
No major good shade lad. At all, although I did ask him to have a conversation with me about it, and I would still like to have a conversation because I feel like this push for the Conservatives to still be an entity, no matter what their history is, no matter where they stemmed from, is an exercise in containment, whether you like it or not.
Yes.
Because, again, the time for conservatism is over. There is nothing about the country right now which should be, I say nothing broadly, on a monolith, that should be conserved. We need to...
Nothing about the political environment. At the
yeah, point. Yeah.
It needs radical change.
The very sort of philosophical approach to of conservatives is done. It's done. And everyone knows it as well. Most people, again, saying it on a monolith.
Well, the whole philosophy of conservatism is minimal change outside of a certain barrier, right?
Yeah, so, well...
And we're outside of that. The change has happened. That time has passed.
Yeah.
You need now an affirmative, positive view and, honestly, moral framework to push forward and create from. Because conservatism is fundamentally anti-decline, but then we need to be pro-creation.
Yeah, well, so we'll watch a little bit of this, but that jumps off to one of the things that he said, is a party of caution, precaution, and tradition. You don't stand for that anyway. Conservatives haven't stood for that for decades.
You've got an LGBT conservatives wing?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
I've never been able communism. To understand that.
It's literally communism.
Yes.
Like, the Conservative Party has been full of homosexuals for centuries, right? It doesn't need an LGBT wing, but you have the LGBT wing because that's intersectional communism that has infected your party. Like I said, your party's been gay for centuries. It's not been a problem when you were traditional, but you adopted communism. Okay? David Cameron brought it in, and you were all like, yeah, okay, I guess we get the... They had the Tony Blair Institute at their last conference.
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
What are you doing?
That's
what are you doing?
He's an enemy.
Like, literally, that's like, you know, the Christians being like, yeah, here's Satan's stall. Do you want to go and talk to him? It's like, no. Why would he be there?
Like, absolutely like, mental.
Just, it's so mad how lost the Conservatives are. Absolutely. Sorry, carry on. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, no. So we'll watch a little bit of this, but I would also hasten to add, I don't think anyone should even platform the Conservatives. No, I genuinely don't, because I feel like if you're platforming people... is brilliant, actually, in an exercise to expose them and push back and reveal just their utter madness by, you know, systematically dismantling their arguments and just picking apart everything that they believe in, which actually for Michael Gove is very, very easy to do because he's a lunatic.
He's a Lib Dem.
He's a traitor. He's an absolute traitor.
But he's genuinely part of the Lib Dem wing of the party.
Yeah.
Like, he believes like Keir Starmer. He believes the things Keir Starmer believes.
Yeah, yeah. And not only that, you shouldn't be platforming what is a dead entity, actually, because you give it legitimacy by doing that.
Yeah, what's
and,
the point?
And they are dead. So let's watch this. There'll be loads that you'll want to say about this. It's pure comedy gold, quite frankly.
Given that the Tory party finds itself in such dire straits, it is floundering in a way that it hasn't been probably since the immediate aftermath of the whole sort of Corn Laws difficulty between Peel and Disraeli and Bentinck in the 1840s and all the rest of it. It sort of finds itself in the wilderness struggling to explain to people not only why it's not only why it's relevant, but why it should still exist. Would it not make more sense to make a sort of bold, dramatic, radical move and maybe invite someone like Rupert Lowe to lead the...
So, sorry to pause this already.
Yeah, no, please. This, please jump in. I got my...
Like, I think maybe Harrison's just being quite subtle with this. Because that preamble is basically a leathering for Michael Gove. Like, have you noticed how effing useless you are? And how everyone hates you and no one's going to vote for you? Wouldn't it be more sensible to not be a useless piece of S? That's basically what Harrison's saying there.
It is, but the whole concept of anyone else taking over the Conservatives is, again, an exercise in containment. It's a losing game. You could strip the Conservatives completely and you will never change the opinion never is strong, but broadly speaking, the mind of the electorate. You cannot change their opinion.
I'm not sure about that. I think the opinion could be changed. It's just that they would have to be tweeting so many racist things that they just couldn't do it themselves. Right? Their Twitter feed would have to be really, really racist.
You'd also have to remove Michael Gove.
Yes, you would. And this is, like, I mean, obviously, Harrison's part of the Restore Britain movement. And so, essentially, you can see this is kind of a testing the waters, sort of like, are you going to roll over and capitulate to Rupert Lowe? And because Rupert Lowe would kick out Michael Gove.
Yeah.
I know that he would. He would kick out about 70 of the MPs, Michael Gove included, as Lib Dems. So they would just gone. Right. So this is something that Michael surely can't consent to ever. But sorry, I'll let you carry on.
Yeah. So
the Tory party who doesn't have his fingerprints on anything that's gone wrong in the last 10 years.
No, well, I like Rupert, as you know. I mean, you know, there are some things we strongly agree on, other areas we disagree. I think he's brave and decent. However, political parties tend not to except when they're in the direst straits, go for outsiders. I think it's very unlikely. The other thing is, you're right to draw the historical context. So,
sorry.
I was meant to. It gets worse.
Are the Tories not in, like, the most historic dire straits? In 2019, they had 52%.
Yeah.
Like, when Boris won, they were 52%. And now they're on, like, 15 to 20%, depending on the poll. Yeah. Like, is this not the direst strait?
Oh, yeah. They're in third place. They're not going to even be...
Sometimes in fourth
place. So if you're in the opposition, you get all of this money from the government to be the opposition to sort of fund your shadow cabinet. They're not even going to be the opposition party.
Yeah. I've heard that local branches basically don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Loads of them just shut up shop.
Well, they weren't mentioned during Labour conference either.
The one near where I live has become a bit of a dance class.
I bet. And, like, notice how, like, Farage is the opposition and Starmer didn't even mention Badenoch. Why would you? What would be the point? Like, it's crazy how he doesn't understand how late the hour is for the Conservative Party.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, the Conservative Party is getting through a difficult period. but conservatism, small and large C, it has been part and parcel of not just our political and parliamentary traditions, but how Britain has understood outside this country and how Britons understand themselves.
I just want to stop it there because sheer arrogance and the gall of the man to say that whilst attempting to represent all of, and this is what I said, is that conservative, he's appealing to the sort of philosophical representation of the party. And again, that's not what anyone's about anymore. This is what I mean by the Anglo-revivalism. Conservatism's dead. What he is trying to push there to say, well, we represent Britons and what they know about themselves across the whole nation, across the world. No. You don't know anything currently.
Oh, all I'm getting...
Such a miscalculation.
All I'm getting...
So out of touch.
If you fail to conserve the people, what is there to conserve?
But also... I mean,
this is... Who are you conserving it for? The people.
Yeah.
You failed to conserve the people.
You failed the first principle.
You failed the first principle.
Very first principle. But the thing is, well, I'm getting strong, like, Hitler in the bunker vibes here. It's like, no, the Soviets have entered Berlin. Like, you're about to get stormed by Russian troops. It's like, no, we'll just move an extra battalion over here. It's like... No, you won't. What are you talking about? Like, you are delusional, Michael. Like, this is crazy talk.
Yep. It's mental. It's actually mental. There's more.
Yeah.
So whatever the institution and whoever is leading it, there will always be a conservative or a country or a party of caution, precaution and tradition in the United Kingdom,
because he's not wrong that the sort of conquests... Third law or whatever it is, everyone's conservative about that thing they know most, right? He's not wrong that there will always be a faction within any institution that will be against change and to protect the integrity of the institution. But one, why didn't the Conservatives do that with Britain? Two, that doesn't have to have the label Conservative Party, right? That label will go away. I mean, like, for example, New Labour, like Starmer's Labour Party, are the Conservatives of the Blairite Project.
Yeah.
Right? They're trying to save the Blairite Project. And this is everything, and they're in full war mode now because they can feel that is a paradigm that's time is coming to an end. But this, why would anyone need Michael Gove in the future?
My question is slightly dumber. where's the caution in the Boris wave?
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, no.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many examples.
What was cautious about the Boris wave? If someone could get Michael Gove to please explain that to me, I'm listening. But where was the caution there?
I mean, this is just a snapshot. The whole interview itself, he says so many more egregious things than this. This
might
is
have to
nothing.
Watch it. This is gold.
Yeah, this is absolutely nothing. This was just, this is the most that we could sort of pick out for this segment.
I'm really enjoying it though.
So we'll watch a little bit more.
Yeah. That party has to adopt radical measures in order to get us back on the right track.
So you reckon they should?
I think that Kemi is absolutely the right person to be leader of the Conservative Party at the moment. But
at the moment, how long do you think she's got?
Well, I would hope 20 years, but no, I think...
Oh, my God!
And we'll stop there.
Oh, my God!
Because there's not that much more. This is absolutely mental.
That is incredible. That
actually
is,
mental.
That is pure Soviet apparatchik.
Yeah.
I love the dear leader, and I hope he spends his entire life here. Yes, I realise the famines are getting bad, but, we're going through a rough time, and, we'll pull through. Like, this is wild.
I can't even begin to relate. I try to relate to people on an emotional level, on an intellectual level. I'm trying to understand where he is.
This is pure party man, right? He doesn't believe this. I know he doesn't believe this. Mm. Everyone watching this knows he doesn't really believe this. But he, for the what he thinks is like being a party man, has to say it. And so it's like, oh no, I love Dear Leader, and I support all of these things, and it's just not nearly as bad as you think. Again, Hitler in the bunker is absolutely crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, just to read off some of my talking points, trying to resurrect the Tories right now, it is an exercise in pure containment. Conservatism as a whole, their time is up. It's done. The current status quo, the current time is for radical politics. That's what's on the air. It's radical politics. It's radical change. Labour is currently offering conservatism, which you said, frankly, basically conserve the status quo, the multi-culti garbage that has been undemocratically foisted upon us. So conservatism, political philosophy, it's over. It could return. Don't get me wrong. Like, it absolutely could return. But that's when we've gone through what I call a kind of Anglo revivalism, when we've rekindled what we have had stolen from us.
But even then, I don't want it to return in the way that they think of it, because I want them to have an affirmative set of principles.
Yeah,
I want them to be like, absolutely. Right, no, we need to create good and moral people.
Yes,
who are interested in having a country that can be governed by a small state in a traditionally English way, in a normal way that historically would make sense. I want someone from the 18th century to arrive in modern Britain and get it and be like, yeah, okay, well, the technology's all different, but behaviorally, you're still Englishmen. You still act properly.
I recognize the culture. I recognize the philosophy. I recognize the people.
Yeah, exactly. I understand them.
I have to read one comment here because it's brilliant. Is this story Baghdad Bob? Yes.
Yeah, very
yes.
much.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
This There's is nothing to see here. It's exactly it. Roll in. It's exactly what it is.
it's funny that you mentioned culture, because everything that you look out upon now is garbage. Like, everything, all the architecture is awful. And I'm struck by the reason we have such beautiful things is because culturally, ethnically, England, Britain was homogenous. And there's a beauty in that, because people that enlisted things to be built, they knew full well that this would not be built within their lifetime. There are certain churches,
Salisbury Cathedral,
cathedrals, buildings of such magnificent beauty, but the people that put that, the building in motion were bequeathing it to their offspring and their offspring's offspring as a gift, because the land is a gift, right? Our land, and this is what I mean by the Anglo revivalism, it's something which we were giving and we were, we were holding on to for our future generations, and you lose all of that with conservatism.
Scruton has it. You hold it in trust for future generations, like they held it for you.
You lose.
That's the fundamental principle of conservatism. Everything that you have is a trust that you have to pass on. That's the fundamental principle of conservatism.
Yeah, but you can't bring the conservatives back when the attempt is to conserve what has now been degraded
and subverted. The London Eye. It's such a hideous thing.
Yes.
Like the Millennium Dome is such a... What are you doing? What are you doing? I don't want to conserve this. I don't like 2000s Britain. It was garish, aesthetically horrific. And the process of the country being completely subverted off of its traditional foundations. Mm. And so actually what we need to do is, okay, what morally do we want? And one of the things you've hit on exactly there is the English venerate age. We view things that have survived the passage of time as having value. Even if we can't articulate it properly, this thing has clearly proven itself to have value, which is why it's still here. And therefore, the English treat old things with veneration, with respect. Do foreign peoples all do that? No, they don't. A lot of foreign peoples do not give a damn about these things.
No.
And the problem we're having is we're not properly transmitting this attitude of veneration to younger generations. So an Anglo revival begins in how we think of our own country, the morals, the possession that we feel about the country itself,
how we connected to it,
exactly,
like our ancestors, our homeland.
Yes.
And again, the attempt to remove the ethnic English or even the very concept of an ethnic English is an exercise in just pure degradation of everything. That's all that will come from this. So it will be a lowering of standards across the board, which you're already seeing.
Of course. But the appropriate response to the Conservative Party to the Boris wave should have been to physically drag Boris into the streets. Right? As a Conservative, you're talking from this position.
Yeah.
You're like, oh yeah, that's all what I believe. It's like, but you sat there and let Boris do this. You sat there and let him do it.
It's not just that. I just want to go back to an earlier point in terms of the bequeathing what you have been entrusted with to your children is also an incentive to surpass your ancestors in what they have built.
Mm.
The mindset itself of preservation, of passing on things, of accumulation, acts as a source of healthy ambition.
Yeah.
To say, we've built something great and I will be marked by building something similar but greater. Whereas what you see with the architecture that has been inflicted on London today is a competition for size and volume that has no relationship.
It's also ugliness.
Yeah.
It's also ugly. Like when you go out of Paddington, if you get to the taxi rank, there's a building right there. And it is a direct attack on the senses.
It's hideous.
It's grey with garish angles and bright orange bits on it. It's just like, you would only do that if you hate the people who have
to. The country's grey enough as it is. We built beautiful things to distract from how grey this sky was. Yeah.
So that on a sunny day, you would experience a small sense of heaven.
Yes.
On a sunny day, you would experience a small sense of, I can't believe how beautiful this is.
Yeah. But I get back to that core concept. And, you know, if you take anything from the segment, I'd like you guys to push that Anglo-revivalism. It's understanding that we are the stewards of this country because it is ours.
Yes.
And that's across the Anglosphere as well.
And your duty as a revivalist or Anglo-futurist is to build on a legacy and exceed it.
Mm.
And that doesn't happen by Dubaifying downtown London, central London.
Yeah.
Correct. That's 100% correct. Like, it's one of those things that we can't stress enough as well, because they'll say, okay, but we could Dubaify. And it's like, we could. Why would we want to?
Yeah.
We had something beautiful of our own. Anyway, let's finish that there and go to the video comments. We have some today. just a quick thing from South Dakota Pastor as well. On Nigel, I'm concerned for the safety of you lot as you are openly dissidents to the leftist global power structures. While like many of you have opined, I wish Nigel was half the monster they envision him to be, Firas is absolutely correct that there needs to be a plan to dismantle the cathedral while actively stymie his agenda at every step. I pray for your safety, your salvation, and your efforts to take back this country. Well, you know what?
Thank you.
If Nigel is sensible, what he'll do is use Danny Kruger as an access point to David Starkey and get David Starkey to just write him a paper to enunciate what needs to be done. And then he will just hire half a dozen expert patriot lawyers to write the legislation, say that this is what we're going to do. And on day one,
get someone like Lord Ashcroft on board.
Exactly. Get someone like Lord Ashcroft on board. Loads of Brexiteers. Day one, you can sit there and go, right, this is the Great Repeal Act. We're passing it because we have 390 people in the parliament.
Yeah.
And the great I mentioned this on the stream as well. Like, Nigel is actually in a kind of blessed position here because he'll have brand new people to the parliament.
Mm.
So no existing factions within the party who can try and leverage him to get concessions or anything like that. They won't have any concessions.
Yes.
They won't have any factions. It'll just be 390 of Nigel's brand new guys who'll say, brilliant, let's get this done.
Yeah.
And in the first month, he could legislate like a demon.
Yes.
And just change everything. He's not going to, unfortunately, but the small things could be done on day one that would fix everything, or at least help everything. Anyway, let's go to the video comments.
Some months ago, Carl went to visit the King Alfred Classical Christian School there in Dudley, the private school, and tell us about its plight. Unfortunately, if you go and visit now, you'll find their websites offline.
I think we've actually seen this one. We covered this one the other day. So, unfortunately, yes, they have closed.
Hey, Luke.
Sorry.
Hey, Lute Seaters, I'm at Iron Bridge. This is the oldest metal bridge in the world, made of pure cast iron, built in 1779, opened to the public in 1781. It crosses the Severn Valley there, Severn River. And here is the toll house for Iron Bridge. You can see here on this sign, the original prices are still there. Pork pies, get it!
So can we go back to this very quickly before we go on to the next one? So cast iron is not the world's most beautiful material. Mm. But I love the way that they've gone to an effort to make it somewhat prettier.
Decorated.
Beautify it somewhat, even though it's not an attractive material. They weren't just like, right, okay, we'll have the most basic utilitarian, brutalist block that we can have. This, very nice. Anyway, let's go to the next one. And now I am hungry.
Let's have a break from the doom and the gloom and the facetious memery and talk about something cool. We've all heard of the Diversity Built Britain 50 pence coins, but last month while counting up the cash at work, I came across this unique 50 pence coin from 2005, which you can see here. On the back is a definition from Johnson's Dictionary, 1775 AD, which reads, quote, 50, adjective, Saxon, pence, noun, plural of penny. I thought it was a cool part of our history and it was nice to see it commemorated. Now you know about it too. Have a beautiful day, ladies and gentlemen.
That's really, really cool.
Thank you.
Did not know that.
Yeah, I had not seen that.
That is cool.
Someone sent me one of those bloody Rishi Sunak Diversity is Our Strength coins. Diversity Built Britain coins.
Expensive, isn't it?
I know. Because I was whining about it on the podcast and like that. I really hate that thing. And so I got an envelope a few weeks later and it's just that coin. I don't even know who sent it. So F you. But now it's sat on my desk and I seethe whenever I see it. No, I'm joking. Thank you for sending it. Let's just carry on. Maria says, Firas rather nails the plan. He is also correct about implementation of such a plan than the Lebanese experience is sadly likely. Unfortunately, that seems to be the case. Rupert was saying, look, we've got 2029 is the inflection point, and I think it'll be unrecoverable after that. I mean, nothing's unrecoverable, but just...
The effort that would be required for recovery would have to involve... undemocratic, unpeaceful means.
Yes.
And I really, really, really do not want this to happen to Britain.
Yeah, I don't want to have to go down the Alfred route. I think I might just play video comments from a couple of days ago. Well done, Samson. They were the wrong video comments, but we'll carry on for now. We'll soldier on. Don't worry about the other ones for now. Sorry if you'd sent one. You can blame Samson on Twitter. Hector says, there's a giant Nigel-shaped hole in the wall leading to power, and if Nigel doesn't walk through it, it will change into the shape of someone else.
Yeah.
True, but again, we're talking like a decade before that happens, right? It would be nice to get the action, the movement now. I don't mind if it has to be Nigel. I really don't mind. Like, you know, I mean, personally, I quite liked Nigel for a number of years before I stopped being a liberal, you know, because he just was talking sense. And it's his story. Okay, that's fine. Let him end it in the appropriate way by fixing the country. That'd be great. I'd be very happy with that. Like Kevin says, I have no faith in Farage doing what is needed if he becomes PM. Yeah, I know a lot of people like that, and I'm like that. I don't have a great deal of faith, and I don't see Farage's camp making the right noises or taking the right actions to reassure us either. But we've got to start pushing him. Like, Nigel, look, we're offering you this advice for free. Like, we can see, as political commentators who have followed politics for many years now, look at what happened at each stage of Trump's campaigning and his presidency, and then afterwards, you know what's going to happen to you. It's actually very predictable. This is actually, you don't have to be a great political scientist.
And I think it's important to say to Nigel Farage that if he only partially succeeds, come 2034, if he loses power, he's going to end up in jail. Like, this is an important point to make.
Yeah.
This is an important point to make. If there isn't a Republican president in 2032, in 2034, Farage, if he loses power, he will end up in jail or worse.
Yeah. And all of your supporters will get persecuted. Anyone who is implicated, they will treat you like they treat Hitler. So you better win, and you better do a good job, basically.
For your own survival.
For your own survival, yeah, for, if nothing else. Benny says, I attend church with an attorney who works in the Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division. He isn't woke, but his office has lost most of their employees because they refuse to serve Trump's agenda. And that's what you need to do in the civil service. You go over and say, look, who voted for Brexit here? And the one or two people who put their hands up say, right, you stay, everyone else go. Right, literally, just get rid of the Remainers. Get rid of them all. They're no good to you. Dan says, I'm slightly confused why Ferras mentions Project 2025 in connection with Trump. To my knowledge, he had little to do with that document and knew little about it until last recently. Was he following it explicitly? No, it's not that. What it is that provides an intellectual blueprint for the people around him, whether they're directly following it or not, to push the movement in the right direction.
So what Hegseth did on Tuesday was very much an implementation of Project 2025, trying to fire a bunch of senior generals, tell the others to behave or ship out. That's exactly part of it.
Martin says, Coalition of Reform, Advance and Restore Britain working together to smash the lob. Well, this is all contingent on Nigel. Because I think that if Nigel said, okay, things were stressful, nobody knew exactly what was happening, but now the hour is too late, the challenge is too
great,
unfortunately, to be able to have the vanity of small differences. Like, both Rupert and Ben Habib are intelligent and hardworking and valuable people to have on board. There's no reason why you wouldn't want them.
There is room for reconciliation. There's always room for reconciliation for the sake of a greater good.
Yes.
Yeah.
For us, this segment was brought to you by the Wessex Guild of Bakers. They use only the finest grains. True Saxon bread for true Saxons. God, I love Facebook. It's so good. Roman Observer says, the greatest delusion of the left is them not trying to create utopia despite reality. Despite multiple failures, it's them thinking that they are good, nice, tolerant people. Yeah. Well, it's thinking that tolerance is a virtue.
Yes.
Remember, all of the left's opinions boil down to, if I am harmless, I am virtuous. And actually, that's not what virtue is. Virtue is in having the choice to act in one way, but choosing to act in another way. Like, that's what virtue is, the choice between excess and defect. Yes. Not making no choice at all. And the left would have you believe that never being an agent is where morality really lies. That's not true. It's the opposite.
Lie down and take it.
Yeah, but you're not moral or immoral. You're an object. You know, you're not a subject. You're not an agent. Omar says, the harm principles are to allow everything to maximize pleasure. Calling people racist feels good. Winning elections is hard and might lead to harm, like confrontational work. Praise God, harm reduction culture has made our enemies retarded. I mean, that's totally true, you know. But
where's the lie?
It's not even that they're retarded. What it is they are imbued with the crusading spirit to such a degree that they can never put down the sword, right?
This is why I always insist that it is a Christian heresy, that if you want to understand the left correctly, it is a Christian heresy, and it's sort of mapped out with their own eschatology, with their own soul, which is transgenderism, with their own excommunication, etc., etc., and a bunch of holy victims. That's the sort of animating principle behind it, that they are holy victims.
Yeah, and they can't ever stop crusading. Mm-hmm. Like, why shouldn't I call everything racist? Well, it's going to ruin everything that you've built over the past 25 years. Yeah, but why shouldn't I call it racist? That doesn't matter, you know. Very interesting. It's like a kind of purification ritual for them. Like,
yes.
If I don't call you racist, then I'm stained, is what they're saying.
Yes.
And so Gary being like, guys, I think we could win if we just tone it down a bit. They're like, yeah, but then I'll be a sinner.
Yes.
That's what they're selling you. Yeah. And that's superb. Love to see it. Keep calling people racist. Jimbo says, I like the way that Gary's economics doesn't even create the illusion of his ideas being better for everyone. All he goes on about is the middle class is suffering. The proles don't even enter into it. Yeah, I do hate the middle classes, though, so that is winning me over.
Opposition to the bourgeoisie?
Yeah. Well, you know, the sort of like lanyard classes.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, I do kind of hate those people. So, you know, yeah. Gary's economics is winning me over a bit here. South Dakota pastor says, Anglo-revivalism. Since Harry is always keen to reality check Americans, I must caution against too much optimism about reform being substantively different from the Conservative Party.
You're not going to find that here.
Yeah, trust us. We're with you on that. I mean, good God. Like, I wouldn't even call it optimism. Just there's no other choice. We have to try and ask Nigel to do something right wing, which I know he's going to be reluctant about, but like...
It's a very Christian hopeless optimism.
It kind of is, yeah.
Yes. Just,
there's a fatalism in it, I'm afraid. Moreover, he keeps importing rats jumping off the sinking ship of the Tories to include Boris Johnson's biggest yes woman. I agree. I don't know why he took Nadine Dorris. She drafted the online safety bill. Why would you take that? What do you need her for? She's just literally Boris's right hand. She's like the mouth of Boris, like the mouth of Sauron out of Lord of the Rings. Why do you need her? Like, it's bizarre. Is she even an MP anymore? I don't even think she's an MP anymore.
No, I don't think she is.
No, I don't think so.
So what good is she? Zesty King says, Tories like Tony Blair because he won, which is why they also like Margaret Thatcher. John Major is the second largest conference room in CCHQ, named after him because of his 1992 general election victory. Power is their only principle. Someone I'm close to with very high up in the Tory party, and for my birthday he gave me an 800-page book on Tony Blair's administration.
Wow.
That actually sounds interesting, though. Like, you know, I need to know. I want to learn from the master. Like, you know, you've got to take all that on board, right?
Wow.
California refugee says, Tories are the cockroach who won't die. So that's so true. So be sure you guys don't relent on them. End the party for good. It's time. Yeah, I agree. I don't think they should at all. George says, I love Rupert Lowe, but he's not a miracle maker. Nothing can save the Tories and no one should. They must be destroyed. Send the message that there are consequences of a betrayal.
Yes.
Well, the thing is, I actually do think that Rupert Lowe could turn the Tories around. Right? I actually do think that's possible. I'm not sure it's wise or desirable, though. Personally, I think that the best options we have at the moment are the reformer an idea whose time has come. Right? Nigel has worked his whole life for basically this moment. So we have to wait until that wave washes over us. Right? We'll see how it goes. I'm not that optimistic. I would like it if Nigel Farage does an amazing job so we can all just retire, basically, and then make podcasts about silly things that are frivolous. But I don't think that's going to happen. So the next best thing, I think, would be some sort of Rupert Lowe, Ben Habib, restore coalition that can actually begin campaigning substantively on right-wing issues.
Yeah,
and we've got a plan at least for when it all does blow out, but like,
we shall see.
Lancelot says, I don't want to see civil war in England. I want to see the police and civil servants, excuse me, responsible for the current state of affairs, dragged out of Parliament and flogged in the streets. Well, I mean, I think actually a legal process should be enacted so that legally they can be dragged out of Parliament. I'm very much against mob justice, but I'm very much in favour of corporal punishment. So
it must be sanctioned by the king. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. That it used to be that, you know, we had
the king. You will receive 50 lashes.
Yeah. Exactly. And yes. And that's tradition, and we should go back to it.
Yep.
Dr. Lighthouse says, and I can't for some reason get that off the screen. There we go. Make Britain powerful again. Love from Uncle Sam's heirs. Would you like one of our fleet obliterators if we ever here manage to reawaken the Kraken? That would be great. But to be honest with you, I think that's not the problem. The problem is our inward-looking selves, unfortunately. We need to get basically the British public to understand that they've been under attack for a very long time.
Yep.
It's time for Gammonzilla to wake up and just declare enough is enough, and we are going to have our country back. But on that note, we are out of time, so thank you very much for joining us, folks. Make sure you go and sign up to the website. £5 a month helps keep the lights on and keep doing what we love to do. And we will see you tomorrow.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.